All right, Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Hi again. Now I mean to tell you a little bit more about Focus. I was ad-libbing, I lost the details. But another really cool thing about Focus is over 2016, a guy called Sam Goff, some of you know him, has joined and works a couple of days for the Focus Ministry. And that's one day sort of closely with me. But then he spent another couple of days working on this Subbies Ministry, which is a subcontinental, reaching the subcontinental students. And he's going to launch that next year, his Subbies Ministry. So that is another very awesome thing to know about Focus. Anyway, Psalm 67, here we go. So hanging around after church, it can be a difficult thing, especially if you're an introvert. I'm increasingly becoming an introvert, so it's getting harder and harder for me. So I need my tactics in order to make it work well. Here's my secret to having a good hangout after church, to having a good, energetic interaction with someone else. You need to find... Need to find their hobby horse. I should warn you, the PowerPoint presentation doesn't get any more exciting than this, okay? Yeah, sorry. It's not a Friday Night Focus PowerPoint presentation, but that's a hobby horse. A hobby horse. So if you know someone's hobby horse, if you know their preoccupation, if you know their favourite topic, it will make it a lot easier for you to have that energetic interaction with someone. I'll give you a heads up for me, interacting with me, okay? You can talk to me about gardening, fermenting, or cooking. And actually, secretly, for the children, I'm quite into Pokemon Go. Don't tell the adults. We've all got our hobby horses, the things that we love to talk about, because we believe they're really important and that it will be really good for people to hear about them. Even better, it would be really good if other people would take them on as their hobby horses. It's so important that it would be a shame, even wrong, to just keep them to ourselves, these hobby horses. We feel so blessed, and so we want to bless others with these. Now, if you've got even a little bit of emotional intelligence, you'll know that not everyone wants to hear about your hobby horse, although they should, shouldn't they? You need to tread carefully. So it's something like this. Someone comes to you and they say, hey, what'd you get up to yesterday? And you say, oh, I did a bit of fermenting. Now, if they say, oh, that's nice, then you might like to change the subject. But if they say, really? What did you ferment yesterday? Then off you go on your hobby horse into the sunset of a wonderful conversation or monologue. We feel blessed with our special knowledge and our special skill, and we want to, it's only right, we must bless others with it. We see ourselves as blessed, we want to be a blessing. And this is the subject of our sermon, our being blessed to be a blessing. Here's the structure in all its glory. We have, the first point is blessed, the second point, nations blessed, third point, God bless, and then we do an interlude asking the question, what did God say? And then I'll finish with three smashed together reflections. So Psalm 67, in the book of Psalms, Israel's songbook, the introduction to our psalm makes it pretty clear that it's a psalm, a song. Now, the book of Psalms, it contains sad songs, praise songs, thanking songs, king songs, wisdom songs, and lots of other songs, and blessing songs. And this is a blessing song. Psalm 67 sings for a blessing from God. It contains five verses, And it's got a chorus that gets repeated in verses 3 and 5. It really is like one of our songs, isn't it? Perhaps we could have a go at singing it in a minute. In verse 6, we see that it's probably a harvest song. Can you see the mention of harvest in verse 6? Harvest song. The ESV translates that in the present tense, and so it's the land has yielded its harvest. So I think it's safe for us to imagine ourselves as Israelites, celebrating our blessing of delicious, fresh and local produce. It's a good psalm for this time of year, isn't it? Spring. So we celebrate our harvest. It's a gift from God. Thank you, Lord, in Psalm 67. Such a blessing. And we sing in verse 1 for more of it. For more blessing from God. Let's read just verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us. So we're asking for grace, undeserved kindness, blessing, good thing from God. Verse 1 asks the question, and our question when we read it is, what is this blessing that is being asked for in verse 1? Well, it's grace, undeserved kindness, but what is it? It's grace, it's God's shining face. Israel wants the shining face blessing. It's the ancient blessing first recorded in Numbers 6. Let's have a look at that. I've got it up here so you don't have to flick. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And so they'll put my name on the Israelites and I'll bless them. So that's the cross-reference that's lying in the background. That's the foundation. That's verse 1 of our psalm, referring back to God's desire to bless those Israelites in number 6. Remember, Israel, like all of humanity, cowers under God's curse. God has turned his face away from them because they have turned their face away from him. They are in sin, stuck in that sin, but God wants to pull them out of it. God wants to bless them, turn his face back to them, bring that blessing. And so Psalm 67 verse 1, we have the writer, while he's very thankful for the blessing of the harvest, he's got something better for Israel. He wants something better for Israel than a lovely ripe tomato. He wants the blessing of a right relationship with God. He wants the blessing of God's face shining on the Israelite people. The blessing is God's face shining on them, a right relationship with him. And don't you love it when someone's face shines upon you? Are any faces shining on me right now? Not really. I wish my neighbours, that's the face I really want to see, is the face of my neighbours. I wish they'd shine their face on me. I want a right relationship with these guys. But they hide. Seriously, they hide. Once I stepped out into my backyard and I saw my next door neighbour bolt inside. On the other side from her, the guy has built a barricade to hide himself from us. Seriously, you come to my house, you'll see it. And so I'm always trying, and occasionally I succeed, to catch the eye, to have a quick face shine on me. It's happened a few times. It's only ever a quick chat, though. But it makes me feel happy for hours. I'll talk to Jan about it, my wife, and say, oh, he looked at me and we had a quick chat. It makes me feel blessed, like everything is right in the world when I have a right relationship with those guys. Well, that's what the psalmist wants for Israel, this writer, more than stuff, more than ripe tomatoes. The writer seeks that ancient curse of sin be removed. Israel be blessed instead. God's face shining on them, a right relationship with God. So that, verse 2, so that the blessing won't just stop with Israel, but that the blessing would be passed on to all nations. This is verse 2. Let's look at that. So that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. This blessing will flow on to the nations. Any Israelite knows at this time, all Israelites know, do you know, that when God gives his blessing, the blessing flows on to the nations. The reference lying in the background for this verse is even older than that earlier Numbers 6 bit. God promised this connection back in Genesis 12, verses 2 to 3. Hundreds of years before number 6, God said to the father of Israel, to Abraham, I'll bless you. I'll make your name great so that you'll be a blessing. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. All Israelites know that when God gives Abraham's nation, the people of Israel, his grace, the blessing of his face, that God will give his grace and the blessing of his face to other nations too. And the connection's reinforced there. You can see it just so naturally flows on. Bless us, so we bless the nations. All Israelites know it. It's well and truly alive in Psalm 67. Bless us so that we can bless the nations. And what's the blessing? Where's the blessing here? Well, it's God turning his face to them. But what is it actually going to look like? How is that going to happen? How does God's grace, the blessing of his face, come from Israel to the nations? Well, it's knowing God's ways in verse 2. In verse 2, it's knowing his salvation. God's done many things in history. God does many things today. 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 what God wants us to hear is this salvation. That's what we need recorded, and he has recorded it in the Bible. That's why salvation takes up most of the space in the Bible, most of the space in your Bible studies, most of the space in this church meeting. God's grace, the blessing of his face, comes through Israel to the nations as they hear of this salvation. Now, at the time of Psalm 67, when that was written, to talk about God's salvation meant talking about Israel being slaves in Egypt, crying out to their God and God hearing them and sending the Saviour Moses to set them free. And salvation meant hearing about how Israel was going to die at the hand of the angel of death in Egypt, but then God saved them through the blood of the Lamb. As the Israelites tell the nation of God's ways, of his salvation, they learn that he's worthy of praise and authority over them and their fear in verse 7. They learn that this God of Israel is unlike any of these other gods that we're used to. Which other god is like this? Baal? Chemosh? Dagon? Marduk? Molech? Certainly not Molech. He quite like child sacrifice. By contrast, the God of Israel hears and cares and saves by grace. He even makes a way to save people from death by grace. The grace of the blessing of God's face comes through Israel to all nations as they hear of this salvation. And look at the effects on the nations. This takes up our final verses, actually. Let's read verses 3-7. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. So here we see them praise God, they're glad, they sing for joy. They obviously believe in this God, they've received this God who saves. Their heart's full of praise, full of joy for him, in him, and fear of him. They fear him too. He's not their cuddly teddy bear God. He's the Lord, he's God, verse 7. And yet, he's unlike any of the other lords they've had before. He's unlike any other God they've served before. They have a God in verse 4, who is completely just, who knows all the details and can make right decisions and bring right punishments or rewards. They have a God who relates to humanity, who guides humanity, all humanity who believe and receive him. We see in verse 4 the good shepherd of Psalm 23. He's leading them beside quiet waters. Such a blessing for the nations through the blessing of Israel. Such a blessing that ends out, actually, in case you hadn't noticed, being a blessing for God. See, it's easy to be excited, especially as Focus Guy, when I read Psalm 67, easy to get excited about it being a blessing for Israel, for the nations, and fail to see that actually, ultimately, the blessing here it's a request for God to bless himself. It's for God. It's the purpose of Israel and the nations. It's the reason for their existence. It's not to be cursed, but to be blessed. But really, truly, when push comes to shove, it's to bless God. It's his ways that Israel makes known. The people praise him. The people fear him. Psalm 67 is for him. This psalm asks for a blessing for Israel to bless the nations, but is ultimately about blessing God. And so we'd expect God's answer to this prayer, this request for blessing, Psalm 67, to be yes, very much yes. But actually, for more than half the Bible, seems like God says no. What did God say? How did God respond to this prayer for blessing? Now, while there are wonderful stories of individuals from nations knowing God's ways and his salvation, we think of Rahab and Ruth perhaps, most of the Bible talks about how God wants to bless and bring grace and so turn his face, but Israel won't budge from their sin and keep themselves firmly under curse. In fact, the Old Testament builds to a judgment act where God scatters Israel out, sends her from his land. And there's so much said in the Old Testament about the nations having no desire to know their God, no interest in his salvation. Ezekiel 36, verse 20. But when Israel was scattered among the nations, they brought shame on my holy name. For the nation said, these are the people of the Lord, but he couldn't keep them safe in his own land. Actually, it was Israel's own sin that had resulted them not being safe in their own land. At the end of the Old Testament, it seems like God has said no to Psalm 67 song. It's not going to happen. But then we flip a few pages and we come to the beginning of the New Testament, and it becomes apparent that while God might have said no to Israel, he definitely says yes to an Israelite, to the one exception, to this one who doesn't sin and so is free from that curse, but who has come to release Israel and all nations from their curse. In the New Testament, we see God say yes to Jesus. The God-man Jesus Christ had the Father's face shining upon him. The Father even said of him, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased, listen to him." In John 14, he says of his Father, "I love the Father and I do exactly what my Father has commanded me." The Father's face shone upon Jesus right up until that dreadful day when Jesus made the big salvation move of the Bible, of which that salvation from Egypt was just a shadow, a move that would release Israel and all nations from captivity to sin and curse and death. On that day, on that salvation move day, when Jesus on the cross took human sin, our curse and death, we know the Father's face was turned away from him as he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For the Father had said no to the Son so that he could say yes to us. The Father brought curse on the Son so that he could bring blessing to us. The Father's face was turned away from his Son so that the Father's grace and face could be turned towards Israel, so that his gracious blessing could come to Israel, so that Psalm 67 could come to her and through her to all the nations of the earth. And 3 days later, when the work was done and God had raised Jesus to life, the stage was set for God to do just that, to make his ways known to the earth, his salvation to all nations, as Jesus would send his Spirit and so send out this new people out into the world with the Psalm 67 blessing, with his salvation to be received by all nations, to be received by us, so that we, like Israel, could be blessed to be a blessing to the nations, to God. Jesus brings all humanity a way to receive grace, the blessing of God's face. Jesus brings all of us a salvation, a reason to praise, to be glad and to sing songs for joy, as we already have this morning. we have the Psalm 67 blessing in Jesus, and an opportunity to bless the nations in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you know it well, I reckon most of you. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ. So spiritually blessed, so very well equipped to be a spiritual blessing to all nations. But to employ a little bit of Aussie lingo, and I'm not very good at this, I'll have a try. Let's call a spade a spade. We're spiritually blessed, but we're also very physically blessed too, with our peace and prosperity, with our stable government, with our almost free medical services and fresh air and peaceful way of life. And now, I don't want you to feel guilty about it. God actually says that we should pray for these things. If you don't believe that we should pray for physical blessing, come to, we'll do, this is our one flick, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So praying for a good government there, and if you have a good government, I assume you can teach me something different later on, but I assume if you've got a good government, you're probably going to have a prosperous country, physical blessings like we do here in Australia. Thank you, God, for those things. We'll keep praying for them. They're really good for us, these physical blessings. They keep us godly and holy in verse 2. But of course, you know there's more to it, don't you? We've got to keep reading. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Don't shut it up yet. This is good and pleases God our Saviour, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. It's familiar language, isn't it? Salvation and knowledge. Know your ways, know your salvation. We're blessed by good government. We've got physical blessing so as to be a blessing to others, so that they can hear, believe, and receive God's salvation. We're best blessed spiritually with our salvation by God's grace. We have the blessing of his face through Israel, through Jesus. Blessed physically with peace and prosperity. God has given us these things, good gifts, spiritual and physical. We use them all to bring spiritual blessing to this world. Salvation blessing to this world, to have God's face turned towards the nation. Use your blessing to make the nations be glad. We are in an amazing position to bless the nations. And so in an amazing position to bless God. 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And perhaps I can be a little bit cheeky and say, especially for Australians. Travel's getting cheaper. Communication's getting easier. The world is more than ever a global village. And yet there are so many people who don't know God's salvation, who have no God worthy of praise. There are still nations who are not glad and have no joy to cause them to burst into song. No opportunity for things to be otherwise for them. Often mission organizations will speak of these guys as unreached people or least reached people groups. Here's some annoyingly complicated definitions. A people group is the largest group within which the gospel can spread as a church planting movement without encountering barriers of understanding or acceptance. An unreached or least reached people group is a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group without outside assistance. This comes from the Joshua Project. There are 16,542 people groups in the world. Of these, 6,700 are unreached. That's 40%. The population of the world is more than 7.38 billion. The population in unreached is 3.11 billion. That means 41%. Okay, I don't know if you understood that or if that means anything or if that communicates to you. Let me summarise it by saying there are a lot of people and a lot of people groups who don't know God's ways, who don't know his salvation. There are a lot of people who don't praise God, who are not glad and sing for joy, who suffer under corrupt leadership and are lost in life. And yet we here in Australia, here at Summerlees Christian Church, are so blessed, and we want to bless others. But this is a bit overwhelming, isn't it? Don't you find it a bit crippling? What do you do with that? Oh, I've got kids. I've got a mortgage. Okay, we'll have to be strategic then, won't we? Let's have a look at where most of them are. India, China, Pakistan, Bangladesh and Nepal. Okay, so what we should do is we should find a way to access the educated of these countries, the more wealthy of these countries, the future leaders of these countries, and then tell them of his ways, of his salvation in Jesus, and then have them return, blessed by us, to be a blessing. Doesn't that sound good? Even the ones who didn't believe it and receive it would still head home knowing that Christianity seeks to bless people, not to overthrow governments and make trouble. Let's support organisations like Focus and the Uni Fellowship of Christians, these campus groups all around Australia, all around the world. It's a strategic way to reach these unreached people groups. Now, I could imagine someone here, maybe many of you here, you might be feeling at this point, I'm just not really much of an all-nations person. They speak weird, these nations. They act weird, these nations. We have nothing to talk about with these nations. Really? What about if they were interested in renovations? Then you'd have a conversation. Tell me about your renovations. I heard about in Australia you do renovations. What about your bushwalks, where you've walked in the bush? Or what about if they're interested in your kids? What about the marathons? What about the TV shows that you have watched? What about if they're interested in that which is most precious to you, your salvation and your God? Well, I have great news for you, because at least the nations that come to Friday Night Focus, they are interested in your salvation and they are interested in your God. You could literally ask them after Friday Night Focus, it's 8:30 p.m. Do you know about God's ways? Have you heard about his salvation? And they'll say something like, no, I couldn't understand Luke. And off you go, together on your salvation Psalm 67 hobby horse into the sunset of wonderful conversation. Another approach. You just listen to the last 2 minutes of my sermon. Okay, so you've slept through the first 30. And then you say, at the end of Friday Night Focus, what did you think about what Luke said? Pretty easy. And then they'll say, oh, I like him. He's more interesting than my lecturer. And then you say, oh, good. What do you think about Luke said about what Luke said about Jesus? And they'll say, sorry. And then you say, do you know anything about Jesus? And they'll say, I'm not really. It's a bit difficult. And then you say, can I summarize what Luke said? And there you go. Talk about God's ways, his salvation, the nations praising with gladness and singing with joy, the blessings that God wants to give, the fact that God wants to turn his face and shine his grace on people from all nations. Now, if you're still thinking this is a bit much, still too hard, I still lack motivation to be, it's a Friday night. Do you know what I do on Friday nights? I lack motivation to be involved with this blessing to be blessed to be a blessing to all nations thing. You might think I'm not an all nations person. My question for you is, are you a God person? You might not be into blessing all nations, but how would you feel about blessing God? Remember Psalm 67, it wants us to be blessed so that we're a blessing to the nations, but ultimately so that we're a blessing to God. If you won't do it for the nations, will you do it for God? Because, you know, he loves to hear the nations praise him. He loves it when they're glad and sing for joy. He loves to bring his justice and his guidance to lost souls. If you won't do it for the nations, will you do it for God, to bless him? Not to earn his blessing and his face. We have his blessings by his grace. We're already so blessed by God in Jesus. blessed to be a blessing, but in response, wanting to say, thank you, God, this is so, I'm so blessed, so much physical, so much spiritual blessing. I just want to bless you, and so I'm going to bless these guys, even on a Friday night. Let's finish our time with a prayer. God, you've been gracious to us and blessed us physically and especially spiritually, for you made your face shine upon us forever in Jesus. Please now make your ways be known on earth, your salvation to all nations. Thank you for bringing these nations to us and making it so easy for us to be a part of this. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for Jesus has come and he rules people justly and guides the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. You've given us your spirit. You've blessed us so much. We want all the ends of the earth to fear you. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.